The world is full of obvious things which nobody by any chance ever observes.
You remind him of a fat Rambo.
Where's his friends?
Friends.
Friends don't lie.
I just needed a safe place.
A safe place to what? Be creepy?
Just take me back there.
To the left.
Yeah, I want to go back.
Because some magnets fell off your fridge.
Yes.
To take out the Demogorgon with a slingshot? First of all, it's a wrist rocket.
Try sticking together at a different house for a change.
Turn around. Look at what you see.
You know that means you suck.
Someone has been in my peanut butter.
Fabergé.
What?
It's Fabergé Organics. Use the shampoo and the conditioner, and when your hair is damp, it's not wet, okay? When it's damp.
Damp.
Do 4 puffs of the Farrah Fawcett spray.
Let's do it.
Live. Yes, live from Members Only Studios. Welcome to Living in the 80s.
What?
The podcast where we talk about anything and everything having to do with the 1980s.
Oh, yeah.
The best that we remember.
The best that we remember.
How'd you like that intro, Matt?
I liked that was a good intro, which makes me think if I'm just tuning into this podcast and maybe I didn't pay attention to the title, what are we going to be talking about today?
Well, you know what, Matt? We're going to be talking about Stranger Things.
What?
Yes.
But that's made in the 2000s, the 2020s. What's that got to do with living in the 80s?
Huh? Nothing, yet everything at the same time. We are going to turn this podcast upside down.
No, he didn't.
See what I did there?
No, he didn't.
People that have never watched Stranger Things are like, what in the world has happened to my beloved podcast?
But see, those that have watched the show just went, shut up, Rob, that's awesome.
Yes. That's good. It's like our little club we get.
Right? Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And obviously millions and millions of people across the world are getting it too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. So, first of all, we have not had a podcast... A new podcast in several months.
It's been a while.
Yes.
It's
so
been a while.
As we talked about a long time ago, mm-hmm. I went through a move.
Yep.
And now we are getting back in the saddle again.
We are getting back in the saddle.
Oh.
And the people are clamoring.
They are. Yeah,
for fresh,
here's,
new podcasts.
Here's the funny thing. Is like on the Facebook page, and you know, if you subscribe to the podcast, I've taken like the last 2 months plus... and put some of my favorite podcasts that
sure.
we have done, you know, like the first one with Matt, first one with Kevin and Snowball,
yeah.
you know, some of our higher rated ones. Last week we did the Live Aid one.
Oh yeah.
And so we're kind of like re-releasing them, so to speak.
Getting
several hundred people
that's great.
Getting in and listening to those things, which is really cool. So
absolutely.
Again, my apologies, those of you guys who rely on us for your weekly entertainment. For one, it says a lot about you.
You are very deprived. You should get out more.
Yeah.
You should take a look in the mirror. That's
yeah.
what you should
after do. The podcast, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So after the podcast and after you get done binging all 4 seasons mm-hmm. of Stranger Things.
There it is.
We can do the thing.
And so we've got several podcast ideas in line, getting ready. We've got Kevin and Snowball ready to roll on a couple things.
Yeah, we got Tamara and Debbie that are going to be joining me here in
yes.
a couple weeks, talking about Tamara's new book.
Can't wait to introduce her to
oh,
the world.
You guys are going to love her.
It's great.
I got to know Tamara over the last couple months or so. And
she's going to bring a lot to the table.
She is. You know, you meet those people that just kind of, they get that 80s vibe.
They get it.
They get it.
Ooze it.
Like the Duffer Brothers.
Boom!
See that? I use Tamara and the Duffer Brothers together.
You are a segue king today.
You have no idea.
There it is.
It's coming. You know, I've been sitting
on
everything for the last 2 months.
Oh, yeah.
You're
going to come out.
So, who knows? But first, before we start getting into Stranger Things, we're going to pause for a brief timeout, and we'll be right back talking all about Stranger Things. Thank you for listening to Living in the 80s. We want to take this opportunity to thank all of those that helped make this possible. First and foremost, we want to thank Anchor for providing this platform for us to share this podcast. We also want to thank Apple Music, Spotify, Amazon Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, and about a dozen others. We also want to give a special thank you to Star1079.com and Roundtown Radio, where you can hear this podcast weekly. Also, be sure to check us out at our website at livinginthe80s.us, and of course, on our Facebook page, Living in the 80s. Thanks, and back to the show. Welcome back to Living in the 80s. You might be asking yourselves, why are these guys doing this podcast today on this TV show Stranger Things? Yeah. So Matt, give us a synopsis. What is Stranger Things? Why should we be talking about this today?
Well, the Stranger Things, it's a series on Netflix, right? I mean, it's got four seasons so far. It came out in 2016 was season one. It's basically like a horror drama, it's a little science fiction. It's a TV show on Netflix created by the Duffer Brothers, and it is freaking awesome. And the attraction to us as people who would like this page, people who like living in the 80s, people in their 40s, 50s, maybe 60s, I don't know who's listening, but we'll just call ourselves old folks. The reason us old folks like it is this series is based in the 80s. It starts like in 1983, and it goes over the next few years. And the attraction to this series is they do a great job. It's set in Hawkins, Indiana. Again, starts in 1983, and it's just crazy good. And that's why we're talking about it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so you got young kids talking about it because it's got all these cool stars, right? And all these
By the way, were not stars. They were all unknowns.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
when,
yeah.
When the series started.
But they're huge.
And we met them when they were kids. Mm-hmm. So they were like, 11, 12 years old, middle school.
He said 11.
Yeah.
You're doing good.
See that?
So you're doing good.
So they're younger. And then by season four, we've got these kids in, start off in sixth grade. Now these guys are in high school.
Right.
And so they're kind of, as the events unfold in Hawkins, Indiana, and beyond, which we find out later,
mm-hmm.
we see these kids come of age as well. They're growing up. So it's, for those of us that grew up back in those days, I think one of the things the Duffer Brothers do so well is the relationships. Like, how these kids are, they seem very real to us. Like, the conversations they have with each other, the things that they do, like the conversations in the car. And one of the cool things to me, and we'll talk about this a little more later when it's time, but it kind of helps us set the stage for the show itself. So the Duffer Brothers were big fans of a couple key TV shows,
mm-hmm.
that I personally
big
adore. Huge.
Big fan.
Two of my all-time favorites. So Freaks and Geeks is one of them.
Great series.
It was one of their favorite TV shows. If you have not seen Freaks and Geeks, basically it's a group of teenagers. Again, a bunch of kids we didn't know of who ended up being James Franco, Seth Rogen, Busy Phillips, and Linda... can't remember her last name, but she's in lots of stuff.
Linda, lots of stuff.
Yes. So we see this group of friends. It takes place in the 1980-81 school year. Going to take place, but they kind of wanted to have a little more room. Because if you're going from 80 to 84, culturally, you don't see as many changes you do from like 84 to 86, 87, 88, 89.
Right.
So there's lots more things, transitions that they have to play with versus kind of sticking themselves in one area. So that was one inspiration. The other one is my all-time favorite TV show, which I don't get to talk about much on here because it's living in the 80s,
mm-hmm.
but Friday Night Lights.
Love it.
One of the things that Matt Duffer said, he said, okay, I thought television is now becoming more cinematic. Can you do a show where you care about the characters just as much as Freaks and Geeks and Friday Night Lights, but put a monster in it?
There it is.
There it is.
They did a good job putting a monster in.
They did. did a very good job. And multiple creatures and things.
Actually so, yeah.
Yeah,
quite disgusting a bit. Stuff, yeah.
So, yeah, nice.
Yeah, I mean, the show actually kind of is scary, if you will. Mm. You know, I mean, if you know, there's a little... You know, if you was to look it up in Wikipedia, you would see the word horror mentioned. You know, I mean, it's a scary series.
Oh yeah,
but it's just good. It's just, you fall in love with these characters, and it's gonna be hard to kind of even talk about this evening without, you know, giving spoilers. Away any spoilers.
We try our best,
trying not to ruin it, because if you haven't seen it, we want you to see it. We don't want to ruin it for you.
Yeah.
So we're kind of being vague a little bit, but at the same time, really hoping you give us a watch.
Yeah. So one of the things that, while creating the show, they also have several nods to different movies and things throughout the series. So Ghostbusters is one.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a couple different scenes where, you know, we get the kids trick-or-treating in these Ghostbuster uniforms.
In Ghostbuster outfits,
now,
yes.
Now, this is season one, and, you know, again, not to spoil anything, these kids really are probably just on the age, they're probably a little bit too old for trick-or-treating, but they're kind of nerds, kind of Dungeons and Dragons and playing
right.
kids. So they're out trick-or-treating, and, you know, it's really not cool if their peers see them out.
Oh yeah, for sure, for sure.
We'll leave it right there.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, and even Mike, who's played by Finn Wolfhard, he's in
yes.
Ghostbusters
yes.
2, the Afterlife. The movie just came out. He's in that show.
Which, here's the funny thing, when that movie came out. By the way, if you've not seen the newer Ghostbusters movie, go see it.
So good.
They did it right.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But when I saw it, I'm like, oh, that's that kid from Stranger Things.
Yeah.
I was not even thinking about right. him being dressed up as a Ghostbuster on
right.
Stranger Things a couple years before. So it's like, oh, okay.
Pretty cool.
They got one over on me. Nightmare on Elm Street is referenced several times.
And are we allowed to...
There may or may not be a Robert Englund sighting.
So, I mean, maybe Freddy Krueger's in this series. Maybe he is. And maybe even... Here's how cool these dudes are. When there might be somebody who is Freddy Krueger, and maybe he's on the screen for a few minutes, there's a song that's playing in the background when he's on. What song is that?
That would be Dream a Little Dream.
Dream a little dream of me.
How freaking cool is that? That when they created this show, they said, hey, let's get Robert Englund in this puppy. Hey, let's throw this music alongside of him. How cool is that?
And you know what? Here's the funny thing. It's not comedy satire.
No,
it's like,
not.
It's very serious plot.
Like, if you didn't know, because they don't, you know, he doesn't look like Freddy Krueger in the show.
Well, he kind of always does.
Kinda, yeah.
yeah.
But I'm just saying, if you didn't know who he was, you wouldn't even think twice about him. But for those of us in the 80s who couldn't sleep because of Freddy Krueger, when we saw this cat pop up in a series, we're like, oh, crap. And then here comes his Dream a Little Dream song. You're going... Shut up.
Wait,
that's
awesome. Hold on. So, Nightmare on Elm Street scared you?
I mean, you know, I was still tender. I was tender. I mean, did it keep me up at night? No. But did I think...
Did you like, cry like E.T. cry? Well, or
did,
was
oh,
it like...
Oh, did I go... You already asked me if I went on Kevin Ackley here?
My name's Kevin Ackley, and I grew up in Asheville, Ohio.
Well, come on now.
You said it, man,
come
not
on.
Me.
I'm just saying, I didn't... I may not have cried, but... I would be lying if I didn't say there were maybe a night or two where I would lay my head on my waterbed pillow.
You had a waterbed?
Absolutely. It's 1980s. Everybody had a waterbed. I don't want you didn't have a waterbed?
I had one in the
later 80s.
Okay,
there
yeah.
it is. Yeah. yeah, so then I didn't think about, you know, being sucked into the, you know, the waterbed. You remember that one?
Go
that
all,
scene. Yeah.
Go all Johnny Depp getting killed.
So I, yeah. maybe it's crossed my mind a time or two. So seeing him was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Speaking of which, we just mentioned E.T.
Mm-hmm.
E.T.'s referenced and mentioned in the show as
oh,
well.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. So there's little things, little Easter eggs they drop throughout this show that you may or may not notice. Sometimes they'll talk about, like, they have conversations like Fast Times at Ridgemont High, like they're on a car trip talking all about Fast Times at Ridgemont High and what an awesome movie it is, and how there's one part of the movie that everybody knows about.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to watch it and see.
You just gotta watch it and
yes,
see.
You do
see, and that's kind of why, you know, having this podcast, it's fun for me because, like, my daughter Grace, she's 13. She is obsessed with this series.
Yeah. Now, we tried to have her here tonight. I think she's out doing an autograph signing.
Yeah, she's pretty cool. I mean, we are.
She is too cool for school.
We are some old geezers.
Grace. Yes, Grace. That was just for you.
Oh, did you see what he did there? That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
See, that's where it comes from. She just thinks you're yelling it for the fun stuff, but she didn't realize that the Grace yell was from another movie. But
I'll give him the backstory.
Okay.
So, you know how we are, man. And it's been a long time, so there might be lots of rabbit trails tonight.
That's okay.
So, me and Matt do this thing. It's called Block Watch.
It is Block Watch.
So, yeah. Basically, Matt comes over, picks me up on his golf cart, mm-hmm. which he's got a really sweet golf cart. It's not like these little old people ones. These have got like the knobby tires on it. Like if the Huffy Thunder Road was a golf cart, it would be mad.
There we go. We're rolling.
So we go over and we pick her up from dance camp one night. And she's walking out the door. All of her friends are there. And we're coming around the corner and I'm yelling, Grace! Just like, you know, Principal Rooney did in Ferris Bueller. And she has this look of mortification.
Like, oh.
Holy crap. Her girlfriends are laughing. They're recording her now.
They're Snapchatting the crap out of whatever that means.
So we show up a couple nights later, and they're all ready.
They're waiting.
Like, they got their phones ready.
Are out. Here comes the golf cart with the old
embarrassed
guys.
Grace.
Oh, that's good stuff. There you go. Yeah. So, anywho.
I digress.
But she is obsessed with this show. And she... Now, when the first came out in 2016... She wasn't on board in the beginning because it was scary. And that was 6 years ago.
Yeah, she
so
was probably
doing some math. She's around 7. Yeah. So it was a little too much for her then. But as she got a little older and the popularity was all over the place, she jumped on the bandwagon. And now this girl, like, knows everything. She knows not just the characters, but the actors. And there are things the actors are doing and this, that, and the other, blah, blah. And so it's neat to have an attraction to a show that my kid loves, but the old man loves just as much. And that's what's cool. You know, me and my wife, we watch the show. We're just as excited when the new seasons would come out as when she was. So the question is for the podcast is, how does a series captivate all us 50-year-olds and all the teenagers at the same daggone time? The answer is the 80s.
That's it. It's the 80s. They're magical time.
We've been telling people how cool the 80s are for years. No one would listen. And then all of a sudden, daggone, these Duffer Brothers make a movie about it. Now all the kids going, huh, they were right. That was a cool time.
Yes.
And so they have just showed what we've been saying. And it's for us as old people, it's nostalgic to watch the show.
Yeah.
You know, and I think they do a great job of depicting the 80s in 2020. I think they do an amazing job of it.
Probably as good as any TV show or movie has. Because we did a whole podcast, and you can look it up. It's probably about a year and a half ago. We talked about TV shows and movies that, you know, took place in the 80s but were made later, like Wedding Singer is one
right.
of them.
Yeah.
And just these kind of shows and movies that you know did a really good job at, you know, capturing the spirit and the look and the nostalgia of the 80s. I don't think any of them have done it like these guys have done.
Well, and to the detail that these guys go through. I mean, they got it down to, I mean, the year, cuz it's the series is mapped out like on a timeline pretty rigid, like, you know, it starts in, you know, it was like November of 83. And then, so they marched through and said, I mean, everything from the cars that you'll see in the background to clothing to stores and, you know, the songs that are played on the radio and all these kinds of things. It's just, I mean, it just fits like a glove. Is it perfect? No, not many things are, but daggone, it's pretty close.
It's very close. So we were talking about some of the movies that you know inspired or you know they glanced back at during the thing. Halloween. During season 4, there's a very specific Halloween moment in it. Altered States, Aliens, Escape from New York, Firestarter, Gremlins, Indiana Jones, Risky Business.
It's referenced.
Even a Risky Business
yep.
thing, where it's almost like a wink and a nod to Risky Business. Stand By Me, which is an obvious one.
You know? And that was actually...
Because the kids are like that age.
When they auditioned, they read lines from Stand By Me.
I didn't know that.
Which is kind of a cool thing. Well, so thank you for that. Did a little...
Me and all of these people are learning this.
There it is. There it is.
Thank you, Matt.
That's what I do.
So another one I wanted to pay attention to here is one of the movies we mentioned way back in our podcast about the 80s, movies that took place in the 80s, Super 8. The Duffer Brothers are big fans of the movie Super 8. And a lot of the formation of these characters are modeled after, you know, Steven Spielberg's movie Super 8. So if you haven't mm-hmm. seen that and you're a fan of the 80s, check it out, because they do an amazing job, you know, just like our Stranger Things friends here do. But it's very 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 well done, and you know, very you'll enjoy
well
it.
Very well done.
All right, so going back to that nostalgia part, they use a couple of our favorite 80s stars in the show.
Yes,
so
they do.
Winona Ryder has a huge part in it. Mm-hmm. She plays a mother. And she, I don't know if she's aged since 1985.
She looks
like great. She looks like she did in Heathers almost.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons that she was one of the first ones picked for this series mm-hmm. is her dominance in the 80s just because who she was. She's freaking white. I don't know why. Right.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, she was like a no-brainer to be the mom here. And it's a great pick. Boy, it's a great pick.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's funny because she had never done a TV show before.
Right.
And she had to be convinced to do it. And so she finally, after a conversation with Matthew Modine, who's also in the
show,
it's like, hey, you know, if he's going to do it, that adds a little credibility. Mm-hmm. So maybe I'll do it. So Matthew Modine also has a huge part in it.
He does.
As yeah. does Sean Astin.
You know him
from Rudy, from Lord of the Rings, Goonies. Which is another one of those movies that glances back to you know, that the Duffer Brothers had sort of modeled our characters after, and Paul Reiser's another one.
Paul Reiser,
yeah,
love seeing him pop in there. That was yeah. great.
And Cary Elwes am I saying that right? I don't think I've ever actually heard his name said. Is it Elwes? Elwes? From Princess Bride?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Remember, he was Despardo. In yes. Psych.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Yeah. Despero. Despero. That was his name. Yeah, yeah, Despero.
But so, this is the... you pronounce him by his name there. I've Come to Kill You.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no. He's... That was Montoya. That was the black yeah. dude. You can't see
he was the dude with the mask.
He was the guy going back. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So, here's a question for you, Matt. There have been a few 80s stars that have come up here. Who would you like to see in, like, future... episodes here.
Ooh, what 80s stars that are not in Stranger Things, which would be...
And not the obvious Tom Cruise, A-lister still, but like who maybe under the radar a little bit?
Okay, you know, but to me that had a big prominence in the 80s. I mean, like a big name in the 80s, but maybe aren't doing a lot of stuff now.
Yeah.
I'm thinking in my mind, I wouldn't mind seeing... A little Christian Slater, maybe.
Christian Slater, yeah. Going back to Heathers.
See that? Yeah, a little reunited yeah. there, maybe.
And, you know, they talked about Phoebe Cates.
Oh, yeah.
During an episode.
Well, who didn't talk about Phoebe
yeah.
Cates?
Yeah, so what about Phoebe Cates showing up?
Oh, that'd be kind of cool.
She could be a school teacher or whatever.
Whatever she wants to
yeah,
be.
She could be,
Phoebe yeah. can be whatever she wants to
That's
be.
That's right. But some yeah. of our Breakfast Club cast. Like Anthony Michael Hall or yeah. Ali Sheedy.
Could see that.
That'd be kind of nice to see.
Little Judd Nelson popping in
Judd
there,
Nelson,
maybe.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool.
I would love to see it.
Yeah. And with this group and with these directors, you just don't even know. That could happen.
Yeah.
Because it looks like there's going to be a season 5. There is a season
yeah,
5.
Yeah, they've...
Supposedly.
If you watch the series at the end of season 4... They absolutely are setting up a season 5. It kind of feels like it may be the last season.
Right.
Like this is the last showdown, so to speak. But it kind of feels like it.
On the rumor mill, it sounds like it's going to be like the winter of 2023. Like it's going to be a good year or two away.
Yeah.
And there's other rumor other storylines saying that they might go forward in time a few years.
Oh, wow.
So they might be college kids by then. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Because right now, as we leave in season 4, Hawkins, Indiana is jacked up.
I mean, it's a lot of mess. A lot of things happened to Hawkins. How in the world is this town going to survive yet again?
So something's got to give.
Something's got to give.
But yeah, it's going to be good.
Yeah. So speaking of Hawkins, one of the great things, you know what? Let's take a brief timeout. We're going to get back and talk about some of the locations they use for the filming, because I tell you what, this will be a good discussion.
Spot on.
So hang tight, we will be right back.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Welcome back to Living in the 80s. We are talking about Stranger Things.
Stranger Things!
So, one thing I wanted to really touch on was what makes the show so nostalgic. One of the many things is the locations they're they film in.
Right.
Like, the homes. Like, the decor doesn't look like, you know, pictures we see now of the 80s with everything being neon and whatever.
It looks
like an actual house from the 80s. The TVs are very consistent with the TVs of the times.
Right. The basements, they spent a lot of time in their buddy's basement, their friend's basement, the houses.
Mm-hmm.
Looks just right to me.
It does to me, too. They 7-Eleven.
Mm-hmm.
Do a 7-Eleven there. It looks like the 7-Elevens from that time frame.
Some of the activities they did, they would ride their bikes around their neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we did. I mean, that's, what's kind of funny is like right now, that's not really the thing to do. I mean, kids still got bikes, they ride a little bit, but it's with helmets and knee pads and,
Well, we talked the other night. We were talking talking about what we're going to do on the podcast. Talk about the statistic you told me about, like how many kids walked and rode their bikes to school.
Yeah,
then
they said
versus now.
In 1981, it said 81% of third graders walked to school in 1981, and I was one of them. Our elementary school was right outside of our neighborhood. I walked to school in elementary.
Yeah, I did too.
I didn't ride a bus. I didn't, parents didn't take me. We just walked. And then by 1990, that same statistic dropped down to like 8%.
That's why the 80s were better.
The 80s were so much better because elementary kids could walk to school.
Yeah.
But it shows that that time of life, and it may not be that it was safer, but it's just we didn't really know about all the bad stuff that was happening. It wasn't until we started putting kids' faces on milk cartons, until, sad story about Adam Walsh and his kid and all the publicity from, America's Most Wanted started and all that kind of stuff. That's when people started kind of freaking out a little bit and going, hey, hold on, maybe this world isn't as safe as we think it is. And then so we pulled the reins in. So in all honesty, those of us that are probably listening to this podcast, we really were the last ones to, run the streets without fear.
Mm-hmm.
We would, we would come home from school and go to a buddy's house and not have to really come back until the lights come on.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because that's just the way it was back then. And these kids kind of depict that. One of me and my wife would watch this show, and like one sentence we would say a lot is, where the freak are the parents?
Our parents were, hiding from the kids.
Yeah,
that's where they were.
But when I look back at my childhood, it was me and my friends running around the neighborhood. It wasn't me, at a kid's house being entertained by their mom and dad, but it was the kids, us buddies, doing our own thing somewhere.
Yeah,
and that was, I think that was the that was the last decade to do that.
Which is not a, this is not a critique on parents today at all. Because, I mean, you know, I've got grandkids at this point, and I love the fact that, my kids know where their kids are at all times. Right. You know? Oh, yeah. And it's, you know, it's, especially these days, it's very big. Back then, my parents, they kind of knew about where I was. I didn't have to check in every 10 minutes.
Right.
Like, if I was going to stay all night at a buddy's house or something, I'd, you know, have to let them know.
Right.
Well, of course, I'd get their permission.
Right.
But, you know, that's just kind of how we were. So, I mean, during the show, we're seeing kids riding their bikes home at night.
Right.
You know, it's 8 o'clock, it's dark, kids are riding their bikes home.
But like, that's what you did in 1983.
And I liked how they did it. It's like, hey, Mom, I'm leaving Billy's house now on my way home.
Right.
They did this in the show. Yep. So, you know, they take off. You know, they know it's going to take about 15 minutes or so to get home. You know, if it's longer than that, parents are freaked out.
Now, none of us got trapped in the Upside Down. I mean, you know, we didn't.
No, we didn't.
Now, these guys had a little rougher way to go. But.
Yeah.
But still. But they I think they depicted well the way we hung out.
Oh, yeah.
Now these guys, and let's be clear, too. The show that we love is based on, I'm saying it politely, a bunch of nerds.
Yeah. I mean,
these guys are just, they're straight up nerds.
They play Dungeons and Dragons. They're into sci-fi. They dress the part of the nerd kids at the mm-hmm. time. Like, I wouldn't wear what half these kids are wearing.
But what's cool is you'll, as, say, season four comes around, one of them, Lucas, tries to break out of the nerd club, tries to be cool, and he gets into sports, and he runs around, hangs around the cool guys. And he has this big shift of when he realizes
who
my real friends are. And it was like, it was a great moment and a great lesson, I think, for everyone to see. So I think they even addressed that topic.
Yeah, they
pretty
do.
Cool.
Yeah, they do a very good job. So the series was based in fictional Hawkins, Indiana, but none of the shows recorded in Indiana at all. In fact, most of us recorded in and around Atlanta, Georgia.
Yep, Georgia.
A lot of things get done there. I think they get like special tax breaks and things like that. Probably very so. Smart for the people in Georgia.
Absolutely.
To get all that positive attention going their way. But everything from the hospitals look very time period.
Mm-hmm.
The high school and middle school is actually the same building. They make them look, you get different angles for the middle school and then the high school when they go in, but it's formerly Patrick Henry High School.
Very cool.
And they had shut down just about a year or so before Stranger Things. So it's really used now for filming.
Oh,
so
wow.
Several TV shows and movies will film at the school because it looks like a school.
It's a school.
And it's very important for school to look like a school. So that's what it's used for now. So if you see like some of the interior exterior shots showing up in other TV shows, that's why. The downtown Hawkins, very, very cool look. We mentioned about it being looking like a very small town in the 80s. One of my favorite, it took a minute for me to kind of get used to, but Surfer Boy Pizza.
Oh yeah.
It's like kind of
Argyle.
Yeah, thank you. I'm sure Grace would be rolling her eyes if she was here.
Yeah.
Yeah, she'd say, Thought, what are you doing? Anyway. it took a while for him to grow on me, but after a while, I kind of got him a little bit.
Can't feel my butt. Can't feel my butt. You guys feel your butts?
I can feel my butt.
Everyone needs to be on their best behavior, okay?
Okay, why are you looking at me when you say that?
Yeah, I think he's smart.
So, Surfer Boy Pizza was actually in Los Lunas, New Mexico.
Hmm.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yes. The skating rink in season
skating
four.
Skating rink is very cool.
So let's park here for a minute. So, and I'm texting Matt as I'm watching this. I think he was watching mm-hmm. right about the same time.
Yeah.
I'm like, have you seen the skating rink yet? And it's almost like just saw it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, when they introduce us to the skating rink, it's like, wow. Like, the kids look like actual real kids from the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
The snack bar look like a skating rink snack bar. The kids are playing video games. They got the bright colors. The music's playing. Like, as a person who grew up in exactly that time period, it felt like I had gotten the DeLorean and gone back in time.
They got the skating rink right. I mean, it's like I could smell it.
Yes, yes.
It's like there's that smell. Like, oh, I'm in skating rink.
And that smell of a combination of boys and girls perfume, sweat, and roller skate.
Yes.
All in steel popcorn. Like all together into one magical scent.
A distinctive, there's a distinctive smell, sight, taste, all those senses. And I think they hit them all. I mean, they did a really,
absolutely
good job. And watching them skate was kind of like...
Yeah, they did like, they would skate around, they'd do like the cross legs skating thing. They'd skate backwards a little bit.
So like, good.
I hadn't seen such good skating since the movie Roll Bounce.
There you go.
So, very good stuff. The best thing they did the whole time was the Starcourt Mall.
Oh my goodness.
Today, Hawkins is taking another step into the future with the brand new Starcourt Mall. Families, friends, and of course, teenagers can come together to shop, hang out, dine, and enjoy. With retail options for every member of the family, including The Gap, Walden Books, and Sam Goody. Starcourt Mall has it all. And don't forget, a state-of-the-art food court is just an escalator ride away, featuring America's favorite place to cool down, Scoops Ahoy Ice Cream Shop.
Ahoy.
Ahoy.
Ahoy. Starcourt Mall is one of the finest shopping facilities in America and beyond. So come on down, and remember, Starcourt Mall has it all.
Starcourt is an all-American subsidiary of Starcourt Industries, an international enterprise.
When they show Starcourt Mall, it may, I don't know if it topped the skating rink, but man, it was so close.
Oh no, when I look back at the series as a whole, 1, 2, 3, 4, and what was my favorite location, by far, I think Starcourt Mall, season 3, they're kind of based, well, it's based out of the mall. The whole thing happens below the mall, and it gets crazy.
Which, dare I say it, the mall, Starcourt Mall, may be more 80s feeling than the Ridgemont Mall did. Because they emphasize, like, they would show these wide-angle shots of the mall, of specific stores. They would focus in on kids walking by and the fashions and, you know, the food court. And
well, and they did, it was, the reason the mall looked so real is it was a real mall from the 80s. They didn't, this wasn't a set that they built. This was just, it was an actual mall from the 80s.
It was the Gwinnett Place Mall in Duluth, Georgia.
Oh, or outside of Atlanta. There you
go. Yep.
And so that's what, it was a real mall. I mean, it wasn't, they didn't build it just for the show. They took a real mall from the 80s and they just,
they 80s it up.
They 80s it up. Gave it a makeover. And they said they took meticulous detail to whatever stores they would make as their stores and their anchor stores, that every store that was lined up was actually in that time period and they were compatible with each other. Oh, it's amazing.
They used some CGI, but they said not a whole lot.
Yeah.
Because they relied on their production crew to... Because, you know, a lot of times you can do these storefronts, make them look a certain way, a lot cheaper than you can CGI that.
Right.
Because, you know, you get a construction crew, they get a picture of what the Sam Goody music store looks like from outside. Like, we just, you know, get $200 neon, put it up there and just...
Right.
But they did it perfect.
Yeah, and I mean, so the season 3 was based in Starcourt Mall.
The mall was actually like one of the stars of that season. Like, it had as big a part as any of the characters did.
Absolutely, because, I mean, without saying too much, directly below the mall was
This thing.
We'll just say, these group of people, scientists, we'll leave it at that. But so it was connected. And so, like, what now, the anchor store was the Scoops.
Well, it wasn't an anchor store.
No, but it was the ice cream shop.
It was the focal point of our thing because it had a couple key characters that worked there.
Yeah. And so that was, we spent a lot of time in that ice cream parlor. But it was just, now here's the one thing that Stranger Things did that made me upset about the mall.
Okay.
Was when they were done filming, they decided, you know what we should do is we should leave the mall as is and make it a place where fans can come and go in the mall and hang out, and it could be they could put shops and memorabilia, and it could be a Stranger Things, you know, place to gather and shop and merch and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So we could go to Starcourt Mall and hang out. And they were going to do that, but they didn't. And that breaks my heart. So we actually could have gone to Starcourt Mall.
We could have done the podcast from Starcourt Mall.
We could have went to the podcast. We could have been in the food court.
But, you know, they did leave a lot of it the way they had it.
Yeah.
So you can still go to that mall and shop. I'm sure there's probably a store there with a ton. There's probably like a Spencer's Gifts there with a ton of Stranger Things. And there may even be a Stranger Things store there for all.
Well, I mean, that's...
We don't know this.
Someone in Atlanta who's listening should go check it out and tell us what the current condition is of that location.
Yeah. Or maybe when you're on vacation, end of the month, you can do it like on your way down to Florida.
I wonder how close. I will look it up. I'll look it up.
Yeah. Shouldn't be too far. So here are some of the stores that we saw in the Starcourt Mall. JCPenney.
Mm-hmm.
Claire's. Orange Julius.
Love Orange Julius.
Taco Bell.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No Zantigo. Hot Dog on a Stick.
Mm-hmm.
Spencer's.
Yep.
Walden Books. Radio Shack. Jazzercise,
mm-hmm.
The Great Cookie Company, Ground Round, and of course Starcourt Cinemas.
Yeah, Sam Goody.
Sam Goody. Yeah. So there are lots of cool things. So,
dude, and does that fall under like sponsor deals?
Sure, in a lot of cases it was.
Yeah, I mean the names they dropped, and I like that they weren't made up names, they weren't pretend names. Mm-hmm. I mean it. It looked like a mall. It took me back.
Which is a good segue into our next topic, product placement.
See that? There's a lot.
There are over 100 different products that were part of the Stranger Things universe, so to speak, from season 1 to 4, like literally everybody. But you know what? There were also plenty of fans that were upset because there was so much product placement in there.
There was a lot of product placement.
But you know what? We here at Living in the 80s, we are not going to succumb to that kind of embarrassing product placement.
We're not giving in to the man like that. We don't do that kind of stuff.
Not us.
Hey, Lego my ego.
Lego my ego, Jessica.
Ego waffles from Kellogg's.
So,
maybe a little.
In season 1, one of the big story arcs had to do with Eggos.
Mm.
So Eggo Kellogg's really had a lot of push from that one.
Yeah,
everybody who doesn't love Eggos,
and they got a lot of profit from that one.
I mean, they sure did.
Their sales just skyrocketed overnight, and insane, absolutely insane.
I saw an internet article. Now we don't know what these different brands paid to be part of Stranger Things, you know, but the profitability evaluation for Coca-Cola was $1.8 million estimated. When I say $1.8 million, that's in what the estimated advertising dollar would have been. So it's very hard to explain what I read, but basically it would have cost $1.8 million to Coke to put that spot in there.
Wow.
That's just them estimating based on what they got out of it.
Oh, wow. That's
so
insane.
It's really complicated, more than I understand.
A lot of big words.
Yeah. But even season 4, one of my favorite parts was when Lucas was drinking the new Coke.
How do you even drink that?
Because it's delicious.
What?
It's like Carpenter's The Thing. The original is the classic. No question about it. But the remake? Sweeter. Bolder. Better.
You're insane.
So, you prefer the original thing?
What? No, I'm not talking about The Thing. I'm talking about New Coke.
It's the same concept, dude.
Actually, it's not the same concept. It is the same concept. No, it's not. Yes, it is.
It's like a commercial within the show. Yeah. Did you have a problem with it?
No,
I did not either. It was all nostalgic for me.
That's pulling any old people.
When I see like the logos or them eating like Doritos,
yeah,
and you can see the Dorito bag,
the Dorito bags. Yeah,
I have no problem with that.
You wonder. I mean, it's just some of those things you wonder. How in the world did they get that packaging? You know what I mean?
I mean,
it was just.
Is that an actual old bag of Doritos?
Dude, they're eating like 40-year-old Doritos. That's awesome.
So what cracked me up is like there are competing products that are in here too. Like for example, there's one shot in the 7-Eleven where you can see Coke, Jolt, Tab, 7-Up, and Pepsi all at the same time.
Yeah.
Like one character's drinking Jolt, the other one's drinking Coke, the other one's drinking a Tab.
So then there's
Pepsi in the cooler behind them.
Did they sell out? Maybe a little.
They could have.
Or did they maximize? That's what they did.
They could have. So here's some of the products. I'm going to read down just a few of these here. Lacoste, Domino's, Doritos, Jif peanut butter, Reebok, Nike, and Adidas, and Vans, and Converse.
There's five.
So
right
all those shoe brands are there. The Sony Walkman, BMW, Cadillac, Chevrolet. All them in there.
Mm-hmm.
Casio, Sharp, 7-Eleven, Burger King, Orange Julius, Reese's Pieces, Kit Kat, Skittles, Wishbone salad dressing. It goes on and on and on. So some people are getting a little upset at that. Not me. I thought, you know what? I would rather see them use a product in a show than have my show interrupted with a commercial.
Very much so.
And you know what? That is actually more effective to me. Because when Lucas is drinking the new Coke, I'm like, huh, kind of like to have a new Coke. Just
it's a little nostalgic.
Yes. Yeah, I like to kind of taste that.
Absolutely.
So after season 2 or 3, I believe, they had a limited edition run of New Coke because of Stranger Things packaging on it. But it was New Coke, and they had it out for like a month or so. They did a very, very clever job, unashamedly, of having all these products
in the
show.
It's so cool. I love it. It's fun. As us old folks watch the show, we're seeing these things and we're going, oh, I remember this. I remember that. But as these younger kids are watching it, I'm thinking of season 4 when Max needed to play her Walkman, right? She needed to play her cassette tape and it would give her the music. So, you know, my daughter's 13. She's never had a Walkman, and I don't know if she's ever seen a Walkman, but and so she was kind of, she didn't say 8-track tape. I think she might have said something about 8-track, but she didn't understand.
Didn't know what an 8-track was.
She just had heard of one. The cassette concept was, so then we were kind of talking about what are some things that got good and right, and I was going, well, I mean, in the movie, they just put that Walkman on or hit a button, and she got this like stereo music in her ears and it was beautiful. And I'm going, my Walkmans didn't always work that good. You know, sometimes you hit the play and just the forward, the back, and sometimes it eats your tape. Sometimes and you got to get the pencil out and clean it up,
rewind it
and stuff like that. And sometimes it didn't really cancel out the surrounding noise because the Walkman speakers were, they were just the Walkman speakers.
Yeah, but at the time,
it was great.
We didn't have anything to measure it against.
Do you remember when we went from like the first Walkman speakers, which was kind of, you know, I don't even know how to explain, just like a little round with the foam padding on, to all of a sudden they went to like these flatter, bigger, almost like a peppermint patty on this, you know, a little bit wider.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when you put those on, like, oh, wow, I can't hear nothing else but the music. You know, now we got these Bose noise canceling things.
Yeah. You know, Beats by Dre, which I've got a pair of, which are amazing.
But going back from like the original in the 80s, she was in the show. She had like the original ones, and it was so awesome.
What if Max was able to get like some Beats, or some AirPods?
Oh, that'd be, see,
like what in the world?
It was So it was cool. And like there was a scene where she drops her Walkman, and I think
they do a close up on it.
Yeah, and I'm just going, that would probably be the end of the Walkman. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it probably would.
She's not going to pick it up.
It really wasn't made for durability. They had the dual shock when they could really like take like a 3 foot drop. And that's about it.
But still, just the see. So the young kids are being introduced to all these products and seeing these things for the first time. Us old folks are going, I remember that.
Yeah.
So cool.
Which is another great segue.
What?
Good job, Matt. Our last thing we need to talk about, I think, is the music.
Mm.
That's one of our favorite topics here at Living in the 80s.
Shut the front door, the music.
So many good tunes over the 4 years. And they don't just stick with, you know, the typical girls just want to have fun, like a virgin, stuff you hear, you know. You can hear in any movie today, but they're going deep.
Oh man!
And in season 4,
oh that's
Kate Bush had this song in 1985 called "Running Up That Hill."
Come on!
And I think it peaked at like number 30, I want to say, on the pop charts. In 2022, after Stranger Things, that daggone thing hit number 1 in music downloads on Apple and Spotify. And on the Billboard charts, it went up to number 8.
That's insane.
So think about this song.
Came out in 85.
It's now 37 years old,
mm-hmm.
and it is the top the top downloaded song on Apple Music.
Is that just crazy?
That is insane. What? So it tells me, kids, those of you kids that are listening, that's why we love the 80s so much, because our music is better than yours.
Boom. Had to be said.
I had to say it.
Well, and
all these kids are turning off now, and they're putting on their Spice Girls, whatever it is they listen to these days.
but that, here's what's funny is we push the 80s music as the best music decade, blah, 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 because it is. But again, my teenage daughter, you know, I'm always playing 80s music, always playing it. And she's never been...
You know why?
Why?
Because you're a good parent.
Thank you very much. Trying to raise them right. And so she's been around 80s music, but she's always kind of tuned it out. Maybe would like a song or two, but never really jumped on board until Stranger Things. And now she is you know, because A, she's a fanatic.
Yes.
But I mean, like, she is like looking up all these songs and the artists, and she's playing them over and over and over, and she's, you know, catches them on TikTok and all these Snapchat. She's hearing all these songs from all these different platforms, and she's coming to me saying, "Have you ever heard a song by Journey?" And I'm going, "I just love you so much right now." I mean, she is totally getting it. I mean, she loves it, and she loves all these songs, and I'm just going, "I've been trying to tell you this. But she's finally understanding. This is great. It's a beautiful thing.
It's a very beautiful thing. It makes me happy.
Oh my goodness!
Makes me so happy.
What a great! Each season has their own little soundtrack. You shared the playlist.
Yeah. So I went looking around for playlists and things like that. Fan made playlists with people that have more time on their hands than I do.
Mm-hmm.
That they're finding every song that's played in these seasons. And it's like season 1, there's like 30 songs they used. Season 2, it's up to 49. Season 3, 103.
Yowza.
Now granted, about 40 of them are original scores and music scores and things like that.
Right.
But the rest of them aren't.
Right.
These are actual songs. And then season 4, there's 172.
Yeah.
Now, some of these are sound clips of the show.
Which is even cooler. You got the vocals and you got the drama stuff.
But when you're talking actual songs, there's probably still about a good 50 to 60 songs.
Easy.
Each season.
Easy.
And people are discovering stuff. Like, they're discovering Joy Division and The Clash and The Go-Go's and The Cars and some of these bands that their parents listen to. Maybe their parents even forgot about, going, oh,
it is so crazy.
They're shazamming it.
To be driving in the car and to hear Grace say, "Hey, play should I stay or should I go?"
Darling, you got to let me know.
stay or should I go?
I'm like,
okay, let's play. Yes, I will.
I mean, it's just crazy.
And then she asks you for money and you just give her however much she wants.
Whatever you want. Whatever you want.
So what really, one of the things that caught me off guard, and you know, if you guys listen to this podcast, you know how much I love music, was during season 4, episode 1, they are playing California Dreamin' by the Beach Boys.
Mm-hmm.
And you're out there thinking, that was the Mamas and the Papas, Rob. No, in like 1986, I believe it was, the Beach Boys covered it. And I remember the video they would play on MTV. Beach Boys, you know, they had Kokomo, and then they had this come out a little bit later. Yeah. It's like, wow. And I really always liked that song. Forgot all about them doing it. They start playing at the beginning of season 1 because some of our characters are now in California.
All the leaves are brown, and the sky is gray. I've been for a walk on a winter's day. Yeah.
Holy cow.
Holy cow.
That, hats off to the Duffer Brothers or whoever picks the music out.
Right.
Because I'm seeing Susie and the Banshees. That's like the closing of season 4. They've got that on there.
Yeah, and they got a full range to season 4. I mean, you're getting Separate Ways. What they do, they do with Journey's, Steve Perry's Separate Ways is amazing.
Yeah,
and they don't just play it. I mean, it's repurposed. You know, to fit.
So what they did here. So those of you fans of 80s music know Journey.
Right.
You know Journey had Steve Perry, and you know he left the band later.
Right.
So what they did, they took the original master tapes and somebody remixed it and kind of made this like little haunting version of it.
Good.
And I'm talking about Separate Ways, Worlds Apart.
Yeah.
And if you go on Apple Music or Spotify or whatever, it'll say Journey with Steve Perry.
Yeah.
Like, dude, that's Journey.
It's Journey.
It's Journey. It's our journey.
It's Journey.
We will wait to the outro this week
to
play a snippet of that as much as we're allowed to.
Yeah.
And you'll see. So it sounds very cool. So Download that song. Play it back with some really cool headphones on.
Yeah.
You'll thank me later.
It is so great. So, but you go from California Dreamin' to Separate Ways. And then they kind of introduce different songs. You know, obviously we talked about the Kate Bush running up the hill. But then there's a scene in season 4 with this dude named Eddie.
Oh.
And he busts out some Metallica Master of Puppets. And I mean,
and he, before anything happens, he says,
"Are you ready for the most metal concert in the history of the world? Let's do it."
And Dustin's on board.
Oh man, it is so good.
He's like, yes. They bust into that song. And it's like, I'm not a Metallica fan.
No, but
that's a very cool moment.
That moment was a great, great moment in show, man.
Yeah.
So Eddie rocked it.
Yeah, you gotta check it. In fact, this week on in the Living in the 80s, we have a song of the day. So if you've not been to our Facebook page, each day we take a song and we spotlight it. And I've already got this week's queued up and they're dropping certain days, but this week is going to be all songs from Stranger Things, 80s songs. And one of the songs may or may not be Eddie Munson.
There it is. There it is.
and Metallica. So, you know, just got to hang tight. And, you know,
enjoy that.
But, yeah, we can't go on and on about the music enough. But, right. But we'll stop because people are probably getting bored.
But it's very good.
Yes.
Very good.
Yes. Our main goal today, as we kind of wrap things down here, is we wanted to spotlight this show that kind of has brought our generation together with, you know, the younger kids.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is a common bond. So here's a show that it's mostly safe enough to watch with your kids, your grandkids, if they're at least, you know, 12 or 13 and up.
Right.
Probably I wouldn't recommend it for small children.
Right.
It's just, they do such a great job at doing the 80s stuff, but these kids are the ages of the kids that are watching. so everybody's kind of like, if they set this thing in 2022, I probably would not be interested in watching it.
Correct.
But because I know it's the 80s and they use all this nostalgic stuff, it drew me in. Really good characters, really good stories. Yeah. And I,
And the purpose of this podcast, we didn't really break down the characters and all their, you know, their roles, because we're not really trying to spoil so much, you know, how this show unfolds. But I mean, the cast of characters are amazing. They're all becoming celebrities in their own rights, and they're untouchable almost, some of them now.
Yeah.
And
you're going to see some big things from several of the cast members here.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they are so good. I mean, they really hit home runs with each of the kids that they pick for their specific roles. Yeah. And
one of the things that I like a lot is kind of hearing the Duffer brothers speak and hearing the kids speak about each other. They really enjoy what they do. They have remained humble enough, you know, as humble as kids could be that are suddenly
millionaires
and thrust in front of, you know, Hollywood Spotlight. And the rest of the world. But these appear to be, you know, I know a lot of times they just feed us what they want to, like maybe one of them's really hard to work with, but they just give us every indication these are good kids that enjoy each other, they really enjoy doing the show, and they, you know, they do have some humility about them. And, you know, just interviews and stuff, kids can be kids. They kind of act like kids in interviews. They don't act like better than the interviewer any other kid their age. So, very cool.
Yeah, there's if you're looking for like a little a summary, I believe it'd be of season one. Millie Bobby Brown, who plays 11 in the show, she was the main character.
If you didn't catch it, that's Millie Bobby Brown, not Bobby Brown.
All right, I was thinking of, you know, Bobby Brown. I thought I want to say just Bobby Brown, but it's Millie Bobby Brown.
Yes,
but she has a little song on YouTube where she raps about season one.
Yeah.
And that is, and it's a great synopsis of what happens in season one. And I'll just let her tell you about
it. It's not 80, so we're not playing it.
No, there it is.
You can check it yourself.
But we just want to do a podcast where we just kind of open up the door to the Upside Down for you.
Yeah.
Let you kind of check. I guess we're recommending the series to be watched.
I would say yes, we are definitely recommending the series.
We just wanted to sit around a table and turn a mic on and chit chat for a little while.
Yeah.
Because it feels good.
It does feel good. It's been a long time,
man.
It's been
a long time.
I think we recorded the last original episodes like in March. It's now July.
Wow.
So yeah. Like we had like six or seven that we recorded in a short period of time. And drop them in consecutive weeks.
Yeah, but it's been a while.
It has been a while.
So we're a little rusty today.
We could be, but we're having fun.
But it's okay.
That's right.
Because we're just two old guys sitting around who ate a bunch of pizza.
Of course,
drinking some ale-8s, and we're just talking about stuff in the 80s.
That's right.
Is it going to be perfect? No.
Is it going to be accurate? Probably not.
Probably best we remember.
Best remember it. Absolutely.
That's it. But we've had fun. Kind of hope you guys did too, a little bit.
Well, you know what?
What?
Next week, Kevin and Snowball are going to be joining us.
Oh, Field's coming out?
Track and Field are coming out.
You know, that's the Track and Field.
Track and Field are coming back. So we're excited about that. We're going to be talking about scandals of the 80s.
Oh, that's going to be good.
Ooh, yes.
Scandals.
Scandalous. So, that's all we got. You good?
Right. I'm good. I appreciate it. It was a lot of fun. So,
guys, we're going to close out here with a little journey for you.
Thank
you for joining us. Thank you for your patience while we're on our hiatus. You all take care and God bless.
So do Eskimos like still live in igloos, or are they like fully blown, like living in the suburbs now?